is entitled Potential Use of Etamifop for Weed Control in Turf Grass. M. Flessner, J.S. McElroy, M. Flessner presenting.
All right, good morning, everybody. I appreciate you sticking around. I'm going to talk about some research we've been doing at Auburn, looking at etamifop for potential use in turf grass. I will say right from the beginning that we do think it's got some potential, and kind of excited about it, as you'll see here. Some background about etamifop. As you can see from its structure, its name, it's an aryloxyphenoxypropionate herbicide, which us nozzle heads commonly refer to and affectionately refer to as the FOPs. Of course, this group is known to inhibit the action of the ACCase enzyme, which in turn inhibits production of fatty acids and leads to death in susceptible plants. This group of herbicides is very safe to broadleaf plants due to their tolerance of their tolerant ACC enzyme, so we'll give them the check mark there. Conversely, grass plants generally have a very susceptible ACCase enzyme, and so you generally will kill your grasses when you apply FOPs to them. That is due to a very, again, sensitive ACC enzyme. However, some grasses have a tolerant, probably best stated, a less sensitive ACCase enzyme, and so not all grasses seem to be susceptible to the FOPs. Particularly with etamifop, rice is one grass that it can be used in to control crabgrass, goosegrass, and barnyard grass. And of course, these are common troublesome weeds in our area, and probably crabgrass is just a ubiquitous turf weed in general. So our goal here, or the objective of our research, was to evaluate various turf grasses for their tolerance to etamifop, so that we could potentially control these weeds within that. It's very important for I think, timing with the loss of MSMA. We're losing some of our resources to control these weeds, and just generally grass and grass selectivity is kind of hard to come by, so I think this has some merit. So what we looked at was three warm season turf grasses, Bermuda grass, Seashore Paspalum, and Zoysia grass, as well as four cool season turf grasses, bent grass, tall fescue, Kentucky bluegrass, and perennial ryegrass. And then again, a couple weeds here, crabgrass and Dallas grass. Our materials and methods were very typical small plot turf research. We used a handheld boom sprayer using an application volume of 280 liters per hectare, roughly 30 gallons per acre. 5x5 plots, randomized complete block designs. I will say all of our experiments were independent of each other on different turf types. For our etamifop rates, we used rates ranging from 100 and in some cases all the way up to 800 grams of active ingredient per hectare, and we applied these both singly, so one application, and sequentially, which would be two applications, with the second application being 21 days after the initial treatment. And we also looked at some relevant standards depending on what weed or grass we were looking at, as well as a comparable FOP herbicide, phenoxyprop, at 100 grams of active ingredient per hectare. We followed it up with visual ratings of control and just did a simple mean separation using LSD. So jumping right into our results here, we've got Bermuda grass at 21 days after the initial treatment. The y-axis we have our control from 0 to 100%. Then along the x-axis we have our etamifop treatments here, the single treatments, 0 to 400, and then our sequential treatments, 100 followed by 100 and so on and so forth. And then down here, you'll see our LSD, days after initial treatment, and days after sequential treatment. So when we look at the Bermuda grass response to etamifop at this time, it's important to get our sort of a baseline threshold of control, which was 20%. I guess that line had moved up a little bit, so we're going to look at about 22%. But it should be at 20%, and we can see that the response, anything over 200 grams of active ingredient per hectare, is going to be above our threshold limit at this timing. Another thing I'd like to point out is that when we look at our sequential treatments compared to our single treatments, the comparable active ingredient rates, so our 100 plus 100, 200, we did see more injury from the sequential treatment than we did from the single treatment, and that was also true here for the 400 total grams of active ingredient as well. Moving ahead in time to 57 days after initial treatment, or roughly 8 weeks, we can see we did get recovery from some of the control that we saw at Bermuda grass. We're still seeing with this 400 rate some greater injury or control to the Bermuda grass from the sequential application. All these treatments did eventually recover fully, or from etamifop, I should say, not necessarily from glyphosate over there, but we did see some full recovery of the Bermuda grass. Looking at some pictures, again, all these we saw were unacceptable, and I think you would agree that's probably unacceptable control if you're looking at Bermuda grass as a desirable species. Perhaps in future research we could come back with maybe a third or fourth application and look at control of Bermuda grass within another desirable species, but so far just some too much injury from these rates, although I think that 200 and 100 rate, we were safe there. Moving on to the seashore paspalum, again at 28 days after initial treatment, less injury overall, but we still saw some unacceptable levels of injury from our higher metamophop rates. Moving ahead in time, again, some recovery, not as quick maybe as Bermuda grass, but did see some recovery. Looks like for seashore paspalum, we can go on up to a single application of 400 grams of active ingredient per hectare and still stay within our reasonable tolerable limits. Looking at pictures for our seashore paspalum, non-treated in the upper left here, very good looking turf. Perhaps this projector isn't showing it as well, but there's some injury there at the 200 plus 200 and the 400 fall by 400 rates of injury. But again, complete recovery from these did occur. Zoysia grass was our standout warm season turf grass here compared to our other two. We going ahead to 42 days after initial treatment, we saw absolutely no injury across the board. So it looks like Zoysia grass does seem to be very safe from metamophop treatment. And again, just some pictures, some good-looking turf grass. This is actually on a greens collar, so a lower mowing height as well. One of the added benefits we saw at Zoysia grass was it wasn't noticed in this particular trial, but anecdotally on another demonstration green, we saw that some seed head suppression from this as well. So something to follow up on, I think, there. But definitely an added benefit as to the tolerance of Zoysia grass. Changing gears a little bit here, looking at our cool season turf grasses. Some of our initial research showed that the cool season grasses seemed very tolerant, so we did another study where we just looked at some big shot rates here at 800 and then 400 followed by 400 from the etamifop, and we just did not see any injury whatsoever. And this particular slide is at 30 days after initial treatment. So all of our cool season turf grasses, including that we tested, bent grass, Kentucky bluegrass, tall fescue, and perennial ryegrass, seemed very safe to metamophop. Looking at fescue here, unfortunately in the non-treated there was some Bermuda grass contamination. That's more of a result of trying to grow fescue in Auburn, Alabama. You're just going to get some Bermuda grass coming in there. But the fescue in these plots is very good looking there, so very good results, I think. Bent grass, this is on a greens height, and in the background you see more of a fairway to rough height. No injury to the bent grass here whatsoever. What you do see is some crabgrass control in these pictures in the upper rates there toward the right of the slide, which I think segues nicely into our crabgrass data. Crabgrass, at 31 days after initial treatment, found it seemed to be very susceptible to metamophop, upwards of 90% control even from our lowest rate there. So some very encouraging results, especially in light of the fact that Bermuda grass seemed to be a little less sensitive. Perhaps we could use this 1 to 200 grams of active ingredient rate to control crabgrass selectively there. However, when we move ahead in time, crabgrass had 57 days after treatment. Again, some recovery from the crabgrass plants, but still, I think, some pretty good levels of control. Crabgrass post-emergence selective control is fairly difficult to control. It's really a pre is where the game is won or lost with crabgrass, as sure we all know. So I think upwards of 70% control could still be considered very good in that regard. Looking at some pictures, again, there's some Bermuda grass injury here. It's probably difficult to see, but some crabgrass plants here along the edge that are doing very well versus the ones in the plot themselves. Dallas grass, our final weed here, from Dallas grass, 28 days after treatment, still seeing some decent control here. However, not really where we want to be. Of course, Dallas grass is a much tougher weed in general. It's a strong perennial, so it has a stored reserve to come back from, unlike an annual plant such as crabgrass. For Dallas grass, we had MSMA as our relevant standard. Of course, we're losing this product in turf, but that was the go-to sequential application for Dallas grass suppression in a warm season turf. So we can see that we are, from our highest rate, getting some comparable levels of control from Dallas grass at this timing. However, when we move out to like 57 days after initial treatment, roughly 8 weeks, we see definitely some recovery from all of our single applications of metamifop, but our 400 followed by 400 grams of active ingredient still does seem to be getting acceptable levels of what I would really call suppression in this case. Not as much, again, as your standard sequential MSMA application, but pretty close to it, and we're losing that product, so I think this could be a candidate for maybe filling that niche. Perhaps not in Bermuda grass because we're not seeing tolerance up to that level of metamifop, though. Looking at some Dallas grass pictures, again, definitely some activity going on here at 28 days after treatment, and I think it's comparable here to the MSMA on the far right of the slide, what you see. And again, some Bermuda grass injury, obviously, at those rates. Moving out in time to that 57 days after initial treatment, definitely some regrowth from the Dallas grass. Like I said, it's a tough-to-control perennial weed, so it's going to be coming back. So I think sequential applications are maybe perhaps more applications would be necessary for further suppression. But again, in these pictures, I think at least it's pretty similar to what you're seeing from MSMA. So to summarize, we do see metamifop being safe to all of our cool seasons, turf grasses that we tested, as well as zoysia grass, and less safety to seashore fast panel and Bermuda grass, but I think we can go up to 400 grams active ingredient on the seashore and 200 on the Bermuda and still be within our tolerance limits. It does look like it has activity on crabgrass in the early post-emergence phase, which is encouraging and could be useful for suppressing Dallas grass. Generally, we also found that those sequential applications, when looking at comparable single application rates, were resulted in more control. So with that, for some future research, definitely want to keep pursuing this product because we think it does have some potential. Some useful combinations could be metamifop and conchlorac. We could use a lesser rate of metamifop, and in conjunction with conchlorac, perhaps get really good post-emergent crabgrass control, even in Bermuda grass. And another combination of potential could be metamifop plus trifloxysulfuron. We think maybe this has some merit in the Dallas grass area in suppressing that. I also want to continue our tolerance testing, especially with the zoysia grass, to really push it to its limit in terms of its transitional periods into and out of dormancy, as well as maybe go up to some higher rates on all of the grasses. And then obviously evaluate our sequential application interval. We use 21 days as our interval in this trial and see what the actual optimum timing is there. With that, I would like to thank FarmLinks Golf Course for their help support of this research, as well as the guys at our turfgrass research unit. In the name of shameless self-promotion, my poster, if you want to see it, it's downstairs, number 725. You can also follow us on the web or find us on Twitter. So with that, I'll be happy to take any questions. Yes. The question was, what cultivar of zoysia grass did we look at? And that was diamond zoysia grass.
Diamond? Mm-hmm. Do you have experience in zoysia japonica, not in zoysia materna?
No, unfortunately, we haven't done that yet, but that would be definitely an area of future research to look at other zoysia grass cultivars. Yes?
What was your mowing height on the Bermuda?
On the Bermuda, that would have been a rough mowing height.
Okay.
Yes?
No,
we haven't looked at St. Augustine grass in these trials. That's again another area of future research. I'd be interested to find out, but I would guess it would be, and this is just a pure guess, that it would probably not be tolerant.
What about seedling tolerance? Those established
Yes. So we did not look at any seedling tolerance. These were all established turf grasses in this trial, or these trials, I should say.
Okay.
Yes.
Would this be of any benefit to row Bermuda grass out of tall fescue or Bermuda grass out of whatever cool season grass you're looking for?
Yes, we've actually looked at trying to take maybe a cool season grass and try to suppress our like Bermuda grass in it. So far, it was sort of mixed results in that regard. Like I said, the Bermuda grass is very tough to control, and it will come back. So you're not going to have complete control of it. You might be able to get some suppression, though, is what we're seeing from some of those other trials.
Any other questions? Okay, let's thank our speaker.